Gospel of John, chapter 20, and reading from verse 11. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen, and thanks be to God. So that is the Apostle John's account of how the risen Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene that first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene was not her actual name. There are quite a few Marys in the Gospel narrative, such as Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the two sisters, Mary and Martha. This is another Mary. She's called Mary Magdalene because she came from the town of Magdala. First slide, the map there. This was a fishing town on the west side, west shore of the Sea of Galilee. So it's on the left-hand side there, north of Tiberias and south of Capernaum. So she is Mary from Magdala, Mary the Magdalene. Just as in the Middle Ages, the great Renaissance artist called Leonardo da Vinci, that's not his actual name. He is Leonardo from the Italian village of Vinci, Leonardo from Vinci. So Mary from Magdala, Mary Magdalene. And over the years, a tradition arose that Mary Magdalene was a woman of dubious morality. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest this. That tradition mistakenly arose during the Middle Ages, but there's absolutely no biblical or scholarly justification for saying this. What the Bible actually says in Luke chapter 8, our next slide, thanks, it says some women had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, and Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. So Mary had been in the grip of some dark and terrible illness, we don't know what, and Jesus had wonderfully healed her, set her free, changed her life. No wonder Mary's heart was full of love and gratitude and devotion for this Jesus. And along with some other women who had been healed by Jesus, she followed him round Galilee in his preaching and teaching ministry. The next time we encounter Mary Magdalene is at the foot of the cross. John's Gospel tells us, our next slide, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. She was there. Mary was there. The disciples had fled, they'd scattered, disappeared, but Mary Magdalene and these other women, they were there at the cross. Their loyalty surpassed that of the disciples. Through her tears, Mary had watched Jesus being nailed to the cross of Calvary. Her loving heart must have been breaking in two, yet Mary was there. That was the important thing. So that was on the Friday. Now it was very early on the Sunday morning. Mary stood outside the garden tomb crying. Next slide, thanks. This is a picture, a photograph of a present day garden in Jerusalem with an ancient rock tomb. Mary, just so profoundly sad. She'd lost the one person whom she loved and was grateful to more than anyone else in the world. And now even his dead body has gone missing from the tomb. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. Saying this, Mary turns round and sees the risen Jesus standing there, but she does not realize that it is Jesus. Thinking he is a gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Now Mary's eyes, remember, are full of tears. The early morning sun is shining. She is not seeing clearly. So it's a quite understandable mistake to make, thinking that this is the gardener of this particular garden. But then Jesus says to her, "Mary." And Mary turns towards him next and cries out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary sees the risen Jesus. This has been called the greatest recognition scene in history. To Mary of Magdala belongs the glory of being the first person to see the risen Jesus. And the dawning wonder that death, even death itself, the last enemy, has not been able to hold him or to vanquish him. Jesus speaks Mary's name. The Bible tells us the Good Shepherd calls his own by name. As Jesus spoke Mary's name, so he speaks our name, personally and individually. In our imagination, hear him saying it now, our name. Jesus speaking our individual name in love and in kindness and in complete forgiving acceptance. Mary Magdalene, understandably, kneels down and seeks to hold on to Jesus. But Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." He's the same Jesus, but no longer her teacher and Lord of flesh and blood, bound by time and space. He is the same, but different. Mary must not cling to the Jesus of Galilee, but keep her love and discipleship for her risen Lord, who will soon be able to be present with all his disciples everywhere. And Jesus says to Mary, next, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And the Gospel says simply, next, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." Just five words, "I have seen the Lord." Yet the greatest news, the most important message that there's been in the whole of human history. History is split in two, as we were singing in one of our praise songs earlier, I have seen the Lord. The Easter message, and it's why we're here this morning, that Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and buried, has been raised to newness of life by the power of Almighty God, victorious and triumphant over death and the grave and sin and all the powers of darkness. Christ is alive forever and ever. And later on, he will tell the disciples, I am with you always, even to the end of time, even to the close of the age. By the way, isn't it surprising that Jesus says, you a woman, go and tell the men. But that's the way it is. The gospel is full of surprises. The gospel of John portrays Mary from Magdala as the first apostle, the one sent to the disciples with the news that will turn the world upside down. I want to finish this Easter message by saying briefly three things for the here and now, three things that can change our life, change anyone's life. The stone across the tomb was rolled away. The message that the seal was shattered and the immovable stone rolled aside is the most wonderful news the world has ever heard. Christ is risen, and the power that took him out of the grave is for us. It's the only possible message of comfort to those in the shock of bereavement and speechless with grief. The stone speaks, Christ, look, is not held by death, and neither will your loved ones be. Believe and trust God. Secondly, next, there is something for us to do. A writer of old compares the human soul to a cold, dark room. Now, when the shutters are thrown open, sunlight pours into the room, lighting it and warming it. We open the shutters. The sun illuminates and warms the dark room. So let us throw open our heart and mind and soul to the life and love and radiant light of the risen Christ, who is with us, alongside us, every day, every hour, every moment. It's been called the sacrament of the present moment. We throw open the shutters. And thirdly, the Easter message gives us hope. Hope for the living of these days, when really there's so much quiet, despair, and a lack of real meaning and purpose, and I think disillusionment, disenchantment. So here on the screen are some words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. But how do we know? We can only say that. We can only know that and believe that because of this day, because of Easter Sunday. For if it all ended on the cross on the Friday with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, then indeed evil and hate and the powers of darkness and of death and of injustice, they would have won. They would have been victorious. But because Christ is raised from the dead, because the garden tomb is empty, we can live out each day of the year, not just Easter Sunday, we can live out each day of the year in the hope, the sure hope, that victory is ours through God who loves us, and that nothing, really nothing, Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to his name be the glory. Let us pray.